RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome in. It's Sabres Live on a Friday, one that we've been looking forward to for a few days, given the fact that Sabres senior advisor Jarmo Kekäläinen is going to join us at the bottom of the hour here at KeyBank Center. And we'll have our regular Friday guest in Shayna Goldman from The Athletic as well, as it's game two of the Stanley Cup final tonight. But with Marty and Brian, and we really just start on a shockingly sad day for the organization that certainly runs, in this case, both ways, from Rochester to Buffalo and Buffalo to Rochester, and the passing of an absolute legendary human being and Amerks Calder Cup champion in Scott Metcalf, who passed earlier today at the age of 58.
Yeah, a very sad morning to find out that Metter passed away, very early this morning. Look, I played with Scott Metcalf my first year in Rochester. It was his last year with the Rochester Americans. He went on to play a couple more years in Europe, but he was a larger-than-life personality. A veteran that had words of wisdom plenty, did things his own way, played the game extremely hard. It was a ton of fun to be around. But more important than that, like, I still remember my very first practice with Metter, his very first speech to the team at center ice when the team was put together, going to the playoffs that year and playing against the Philadelphia Phantoms in the first round. And they had Frankie Bialowis on the other side, and he was a tough customer. And Metter was like, I've got him, guys. I've got him. We're like, Metter, that's not your job. No, I got him. And it was him and Dan Frawley, the two veterans that have been there for a long time. But, you know, he is a Calder Cup champion with the Amerks, one that kind of played through multiple generations of players, from the younger ones to the, you know, not so young. And after his career in hockey, was always very involved with the Rochester Americans alumni, the Sabres alumni. Would always stop by the set every time he came to a game.
Never
you
missed
could see
chance.
Metter come walking over, Marty Duffer, and just a joy to be around. And this is devastating because he was a young man,
58, and because you got to live that experience as a teammate of his, what you just said about how he was post-career in both Buffalo and Rochester, do you think it's right to say that regardless of whether he was in the arena or outside of it, he always made you feel like a teammate?
Oh, 100%. He made people that he didn't even play with feel like teammates.
Yeah.
Like, to him, this was his team. His team was the people that he was close with, that he interacted with. I look, Scott, if you want to, those that don't really know who Scott Metcalf is, because, so, Metter grew up in Toronto, was drafted by the Edmonton Oilers, was traded to Buffalo in February of 1988. Mm-hmm. Funny enough, in that trade, the Sabres acquired a draft pick. That draft pick ended up being Donald Odette. Mm-hmm. So Metter came over.
He was a first rounder in Edmonton, by the way.
He was a first rounder in Edmonton, yes. And look, played some games in Buffalo, but was an AHL guy, mm-hmm. a guy that lived in the American League, that rode the buses, that played three games in three nights in bad building with bad food and bad lighting and bad locker rooms and showers that didn't work after the game and all of that, right? I mean, that was Metter. But to me, like, I associated Metter to the Rochester Americans and their history.
Yeah.
To the way robbery is to the Buffalo Sabres.
100%.
I think that's very similar. So if you think of, you know, like the Mount Rushmore of Sabres and the Mount Rushmore of the Rochester Americans, like obviously guys like Jody Gage, right? That's like your Gilbert Perreault. Like Jody Gage and the Rochester Americans have a long history. But Scott Metcalf, to this generation of Amherst fans that you watch through the, you know, the late 80s and the 90s and the Calder Cup, in 95, 96, mm-hmm. It is the robbery. It's the robbery of the Amherst, and that's the exact same thing.
He was, as you say, part of the 95, 96 team, and despite the toughness that you talk about, I mean, over the course of the 19-game run that netted the Calder Cup, he scored six times with 14 points. Yeah, he had 23 penalty minutes, which is actually not a ton based on how the AHL playoffs can unfold, and certainly did back in the day.
Oh, yeah, 228 that season. So yes.
Right. But with that, later being inducted into the Amherst Hall of Fame during their 50th anniversary season, but a three-time winner of the McCulloch Trophy for Community Service, most popular player award, 94 through 97, three-time Executive Club Most Popular Player Award.
Yep.
Unsung Hero Award, 1988, 89, pardon me.
That was his first full season.
And I think when you... I'm glad you put it in the context of, like, he is a historic Amherst. And you have that distinction of being an Amherst Hall of Famer as well, as does the longtime voice of the Amherst, Don Stevens. And I think in Don's quote today in the team press release, you know, you really don't need to know much more than the Scott Metcalf mold was definitely used only one time.
Yeah, it was broken after it was filled with Metter. Definitely
and,
broken.
And I think that for anybody who met him, that allows for interpretation however you want, right?
Well, of what Metter so you knew. Good or so bad. There were sparks
but
of
just
it.
Like, yes. Again, it's the person, the personality, and let alone what he brought to the team and the organization and the success.
So I'll tell you a quick story. My first year in Rochester, we had a guy there. His name was Daniel Bienvenu. And we called him Welcome. Bienvenu in French means welcome. So Welcome was a guy that played in South Carolina his first year a little bit, got called up to the Rochester Americans. And he was a very talented junior player, but he had a bit of a lazy streak to him. Mm-hmm. So we have practice one day, morning skate, right? And Welcome wasn't dressing that night. So after practice, guys start filtering off the ice. And, you know, I'm playing that night, so I'm in the locker room. Matter's taking his skates off, and all of a sudden walks Daniel Bienvenu, and he sits down, and he was sitting next to Matter. He sits down, takes his helmet off, and Matter looks over to Dan, and he goes, "What's going on?" He goes, "Nothing. Are you playing tonight?" He goes, "No." "What are you doing here? Get your helmet, your skates, and your gloves back on. Get back on the ice. Get working. Get better." And this poor kid, deer in the headlight, right? He's like, "I got, like," and he grabbed his stuff and ran onto the ice to do extra.
Oh, my goodness.
But, so some people will say, "Man, a little bit harsh." No, that was 1997. Like, we're talking about, you know, 28 years ago. But it's like, that's how it worked. And that's the lessons you learn in life from somebody like Scott Metcalf that is willing to just be a little bit tough love and let you know. I mean, I remember Metter telling me, like, come on, you got to be better than this. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, if he's taking the time out of his busy game and the experience that he's had, and he's coming over to tell me, Marty, you got to be better. Come on. And then he skates away. I'm like, I got to be better. Mm-hmm. That's why he was so respected. He never sugarcoated it, and he did it the right way.
The Amerks and Sabres, all of us extend our deepest sympathies and condolences to Scott Metcalf's wife, Jane, and their kids, Tanner and Keegan and Quinn.
Yep. They will be in our thoughts. I know that the Amerks alumni are going to be very helpful. I've already talked to people in Rochester. I called Rob Ray as soon as I found out, because mm-hmm. I know Razor and Metter were really tight.
Mm-hmm.
And Razor's talked about, you know, our Sabres alumni and Sabres Foundation, and obviously we help one another, and we have for many years. And those that, again, used to come, that come every year to the Sabres alumni golf tournament. You know, we get a few guys from Rochester that come in, but Metter was there every year.
Always
and, there.
And the Amerks alumni event is going to be real tough.
It's going to be real tough this year. I think of, like, some of my teammates that I've lost, that I've played with in Rochester when Craig Sharon passed away.
Yeah.
Sharky was young, dealing with cancer, obviously. And it was, we did a hockey game in Rochester at the, Monroe County Community College is. I don't remember what it's called now. It used to be Bill Gray's, but it changed name. That mm-hmm. ring. Like, it was packed, four rows deep, standing only. Like, it was packed. And there's certain players that have that impact. And Sharky had that impact. Metter had that impact. It's definitely a legend. A legend in Rochester, a legend in the AHL, and a legend that is unfortunately gone too soon.
Passed away, did Scott Metcalf, at the age of 58. You know his only NHL goal? You know who he scored it against?
No.
Ron Hextall.
No way.
Yeah.
He got the one, though.
Yeah,
he got the one. He can say that.
All right. On this Friday of Sabres Live, again, Jarmo Kekäläinen, senior advisor with the Sabres, is going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Shayna Goldman from The Athletic now, as we look forward to Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final tonight. Shayna, welcome in. What is your kind of one word or takeaway from Game 1 of this year's final?
I'll take 7.
That's a perfect way, and I think... I mean, who wouldn't echo that? Who wouldn't want that after what we witnessed?
Okay, so Shayna, do you think, and coaching is a big part, and we'll talk about Pete DeBoer getting let go of Dallas in a little bit here. Do you think that Chris Knobloch, even though the game was really tight, out-coached Paul Maurice in game one in the adjustments that he made, putting McDavid and Draisaitl together in the third period, playing his fourth line a little bit more than Florida's fourth line, and at the end, that's what ended up being the deciding factor in the game?
Yes. I don't blame Paul Maurice for how he handled his team, because I think he knows generally, like, when there's blood in the water, his team strikes, right? Like, they're the best at that. And they figured out a way to pull ahead in that game. Yes, they benefited from the coach's challenge, but they took their stranglehold on the game right there, right? That's a momentum swinger. The Oilers know it firsthand that if you can get that challenge right and then score a power play goal in the corresponding delay of game, like, you can own a game. You can change the entire tone of it. So I'm going to give Chris Knobloch all the credit in the world for that, because he knew how to channel his team in that moment when a lot of teams have struggled against Florida in a very similar situation, right? Like, okay, we might be down. This might be a terrible turn of two minutes, but we can make this work. And I think he knows when to load up that top line with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, when to play them together, when to start tweaking the lines to make them click and to get them going, and then how to deploy his players at the right times, right? Like, I give him a ton of credit for that, because you have home ice, and for the Panthers, it really doesn't matter this postseason if they're on the road. They're actually better on the road, you know, record-wise with the power play. And I think Knobloch just steadied the ship in a great way. So, yeah, I'll give him a ton of credit.
I like Knobloch as much as most everyone outside of Oilers' longtime analyst Bob Stauffer, who's always been a big Knobloch supporter, and no one could have been more excited when Knobloch finally got the job. But I dare say that just about any of us could have decided upon McDavid and Draisaitl together at some point, not unlike the Crosby and Malkin situations that helped Pittsburgh to 3 Stanley Cups over multiple coaches over the course of their success. All that being said, what do you anticipate tonight?
I mean, I will be shocked if the Panthers don't respond in some way, right? Like, this is what we know them to be. If they face adversity, they're going to flip a switch the next game. Have they gone down 2-0 in a series? Yes. And oh, look, they were just fine. They've only lost 3 games on the road, though, this entire postseason, 2 of them being to open the series against Florida and the 1, obviously, in game 1. So I imagine they're not going to get a 4th one tonight. I would expect a very good game for them. And I expect the middle 6 to step up scoring a lot more because Barkov is going to face a heavy dose of McDavid and Draisaitl. We knew that, right? Now that they're playing them together, and if that holds up, Barkov is going to do his best to slow them down, contain them, but you can't expect him also to be a great scoring threat. So I would expect the Tkachuk line to be a little bit more active, and I want to see a little bit more from the Lundell line to kind of make sure that they can, you know, make up for any offense that Barkov and Reinhardt can't create.
Shayna, is Kasperi Kapanen finally showing why he was a first-round pick of the Pittsburgh Penguins, why he was traded to Toronto in that Phil Kessel deal, but it never really picked up, and now all of a sudden we're seeing, even Draisaitl saying, he's fantastic, he's fast, he can play anywhere in the lineup, top line, fourth line, whatever. Are we seeing finally, and maybe his last chance, what Kasperi Kapanen can do?
Yeah, I think so, because you look at it and you go, okay, so you have the speed, you have the wheels to be this big difference maker, but what else do you bring to the fold, right? And I think that's been kind of the problem throughout his career. It's like wasted offense because he's just speeding through the zone, but he's not doing anything with it. The fact that he's playing with Draisaitl obviously is going to elevate his game, right? That's only natural when you play with a good player. But there's something to that too, right? Like, you could be a passenger with a good player, or you could be someone that complements a good player. That's what separates the Zach Hymans of the world from the Michael Bunting. Can you keep up and complement top players and help them be the best versions of themselves? If Kapanen's doing that for Draisaitl right now, that there's a role. There's a role for that in the NHL if you can do it successfully. So it's a huge opportunity for him. If he's going to play well, he's this low-key fix that the Oilers can keep around. If he plays well with Draisaitl, they're going to keep him around to play with Draisaitl. So I think he's making the most of this opportunity to make an impact.
Any more for you on on the Cup?
Or no, I want you to transition to Dallas. I cannot.
No, you go.
Wait.
Let's go.
Shayna, last Friday we talked about the pull, the angry pull of Pete DeBoer, Jake Oettinger, you know, if there was going to be some repercussion. And then Saturday, DeBoer talks about how, oh, we talked about internally about maybe not having him play game 4 and, you know, he wasn't playing well and that's a big sample and he doubled down on everything. We had to know. Do you think Pete DeBoer knew he was going to get fired and just decided to, he says, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging, and he went all out?
I don't know. That's a good question. He totally could have, right? Like, you could have had that vibe that this is not going to go the way that you originally expected it to go. But it's interesting because Allison Lucan made a great point yesterday. We were talking about it on Too Many Men. It wasn't just the goalie pull. It was the timing of it, right? And waiting till the end of the timeout the way he did it. And he thinks that was a mistake right there. But I think the entire situation, he might have known, right? And it was for more than just Oettinger. To me, that wasn't the final. It wasn't the first straw. It was the final straw, because you go and say, okay, you've made it to 3 Western Conference finals and you're great in game 7. But what has that truly amounted to? And for 2 straight years, you're losing to the same team because your offense dried up. He didn't build this roster, but he deployed it, right? He made the decisions to play Cody Ceci the way he did. He made the decisions to play Jamie Benn the way he did in a third line role against top competition that he did not handle well, right? They were very bad defensively in his minutes. And I think it just took Wyatt Johnston out of the series too. So all of those decisions build up, and then the final straw had to be the Oettinger situation. I don't think there was any coming back from that.
So Duffer, I mentioned yesterday or the day before to you that if Dallas moves on from Pete DeBoer, that's because they know they can replace him with maybe somebody better, right?
Do they?
Well, that's what I'm... Shayna, is there anybody better than Pete DeBoer right now that would be available?
Yeah, how about someone new? How about someone different? How about someone who, you know, everybody looks at Pete DeBoer and they go, well, look at his record in game 7s and look at what he's done in the postseason. But at the end of the day, you have to look and go, okay, what has he done in the postseason? He gets his team to a certain point, and then what? So I think that there's definitely a way to go with someone with new, interesting ideas. And maybe it's an internal option, too. I think the Stars are an elite scouting team. So if they say a coach is the right move. Like, a different coach is the right move. Like, I'm going to trust it there. I think that they have the right blend of, like, old school vibes and, you know, progressive ideas to find a different candidate instead of somebody who has failed upwards year after year.
Do you have a hunch on what way they're going to go here, veteran or relatively new?
I mean, that's going to be the big question, because usually we see teams, if a newer coach fails, go to that veteran option. I mean, look at the Sabres, right? They went from Granato to Kekalainen. So it's not like a perfect science. But you look from within, and I'm going to apologize because I'm going to butcher how to say his name, but I can't say it, but he was with Columbus, and he's someone that put in 2 years as an assistant in Dallas. Aaron Fortzline was tweeting about it before. He's a very under-the-radar option that we don't hear often in head coaching mixes. Mm. I think everybody gets so hyped about the, you know, Jay Leaches and the Marco Sturms of the world that we don't talk about everybody. So he's that low-key option I'm looking out for. And when we hear his name circulated more, I will learn how to say it correctly.
Misha Donskov?
Yes.
I think that's how you say it.
Yeah. How about David Carr? Like, I'm just saying, he kind of turned down every...
Really?
Well, I'm just saying, like, what about him?
Because he has an out clause?
Well, maybe. And now he's like, Dallas.
Everyone always has an out clause.
But Dallas is a lot more interesting than going to Pittsburgh or Boston and all of that. Like, that, I'm just saying, I'm going to throw it out there. What if you make a call and you said, hey, we got that opportunity here in Dallas. It's different.
We've talked about this before. There should always, like, when you pursue someone, right, a coach, a player, there's those varying levels of interest. Every single general manager should kick the tires on every single player, even if it's not feasible, it's not plausible. And the same thing's going to apply here, right? Why not? You never know until you're told no. And I think if you're Carl, you actually give this one a minute to think about versus, say, a Boston or Chicago. Because if I'm him, knowing I have all the job security in the world, why would I go to the NHL where the average tenure is so short? Why is it so short? Because teams like the Blackhawks and teams like the Bruins are constantly changing their coaches. So I don't think you have that faith in the front office to know this is a long-term role. I think this is I could get fired in 2 years to save the general manager's job. With the Stars, it's a little bit different because Jim Neal isn't that, you know, quick, emotional, let me just keep rotating coaches behind the bench when something doesn't work out the first go, that maybe you give that one a little bit thought because there's a little bit more job security behind it.
Okay, I think what's more interesting is not who ends up coaching Dallas, but who hires Pete DeBoer. Because technically, the coaching carousel ended.
It's over.
But it's not. Because here's what I'm thinking. Yes, the new general manager in Long Island said Patrick Waugh is his coach. I would go to Pete DeBoer and say, bye-bye, Patrick Waugh. That's just me. And
you know what? I was driving in today and I was thinking, not about Pete DeBoer there, but I was thinking of the how that was going to work in Long Island. And with Patrick Waugh there, like, I was thinking about that.
And to that point, might you think there's a team that, despite having no inclination, Shana, to make a change now, might consider it because of Pete?
Hey, we saw it this year, right? Jim Montgomery becomes available, and the Blues are like, see you, Craig. Thanks for stopping by, but we're done with you. That totally could happen. Why not, right? I think that there's going to be coaches. There's going to be mid-season coaching changes. Well, Nashville makes more sense than Long Island. I think Andrew Burnett.
Right, because they don't have a Hall of Famer behind the bench, but they actually have the guy who ended the Hall of Famer's career behind the bench and Andrew Burnett. I love this. This is amazing.
I just don't. I don't have much faith in Andrew Burnett, as I've like said a million times that I'm like, I cannot see him sticking around long there.
Yeah.
Shayna, we have Jarmo Kekalainen coming in right after you after the break. If you had a question to ask Jarmo about his either tenure in Columbus, what he's going to do here in Buffalo, what do you want us to ask him? We'll write it down and we'll ask him.
Okay, I'm going to go for a serious question. I'm going to be a professional here. I want to know if having time between Columbus and Buffalo gave him the time to take a step back, and if he thinks that helps more than going job to job to job. Do you get more league-wide perspective if you get to take a beat between your jobs?
Okay, I will.
Did you write it down, Marty? Or are you just going to trust
it? It's in the bank.
Okay, good.
I'm going to listen, and I'm going to know.
Dana, thank you so much. Enjoy the weekend. There won't be any game Saturday, Sunday, but there is a game two tonight. We'll see you soon. There's Shana Goldman from The Athletic. Jarmo Kekäläinen, senior advisor to the Buffalo Sabres, is next.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money. We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Rolling along from KeyBank Center on this Friday. Obviously, Game 2 of the Stanley Cup Final happens tonight in Edmonton. Oilers leading the series against the Panthers, 1-0. Latest Sabres news was obviously the hiring of senior advisor to the GM here in Buffalo, and that would be Jarmo Kekäläinen, who's with us now. It's great to see you, Jarmo. Thank you for joining us here today. How are things? And take us through just how you ended up here in this role.
It was a quite long process, because I went through the interview process for other positions in the league, but I had talked to Kevin before that, so I was very interested in the position that he was offering. I was interested in the situation and the challenge with Buffalo and the opportunity and the potential of the team, but also the role is important for me, because I didn't want to be looked at as somebody who's retiring or doesn't want to do work. I want to be 100% in 24/7, doing everything I can to help Kevin and the Buffalo Sabres, and that was a big part of why I wanted to join.
I'm going to ask Shana Goldman from The Athletic. She's our Friday guest, and I'm going to ask her a question now because I'll forget, and then she'll be mad at me. So she wanted to know if the time between Columbus and Buffalo allowed you to kind of take a step back and see some adjustments, because some GMs go from job to job to job, or they kind of, you know, just keep on going. So is the time off giving you a different perspective and an adjustment in everything that you see around the league?
Definitely. I think it was the best decision I made, just to take some time off and reflect and learn from my experiences, my mistakes. You know, I was over a year without being in the wheel of 24/7, and I wanted to broaden my views, and because you can easily get focused in that job where you're just looking at the task in hand every day, and it's a busy job. So I have a lot of appreciation of what Kevin does and what he has to go through every day. But for me to take that time off and just learn and soak in information from different areas of life and hockey business, sports, it was probably the most educating time of my career since going to school or something, because I've been in hockey business since 1995 nonstop and never had this opportunity to take some time off and learn and just be better. You know, I'm a big believer that the day you think that you have nothing else to learn or nothing more to learn, that's the day you got to retire. And I'm definitely not there yet. So it was a great year and 3 months.
Clarkson alum, a good friend of the show, David Leggio. He was a Clarkson goalie. He sent me a text. He said, Yarmo equals Clarkson. Clarkson equals winning. Winning equals happiness. So the Clarkson group, but I was surprised because I did not know that about you. I knew your 30 years done with Ottawa and, you know, going through, you know, the process of being a scout and an assistant GM and all of it. But you played, you know, in the NHL, but you also played college hockey at Clarkson. So when you look back at your whole experience from playing to now being where you are, what do you think is the biggest change in the league these days?
Biggest change in the league, that, you know, it just keeps getting faster and faster, and obviously the players keep getting better and better, and I think that the game's great when you watch the playoffs. It just gets you excited, gets your blood flowing, and you know, I love the game of hockey. I always have, but it's changed so much, and I've been through so many experiences where they were eye openers. You mentioned Clarkson. I come to Clarkson from Finland, where there was no internet, so I'm looking at the yearbook. So this is where I'm going. Go to Clarkson, and it's like, oh boy, go from Olympic size rink to Walker Arena at Clarkson. It was 80 feet wide.
Yeah.
And running into the boards, and so, you know, I've been through a lot of eye-opening experiences. But hockey keeps surprising me every year that you watch it, and it's just keeps getting better and better. And it's just such a great game and such a great team game is what really intrigues me about hockey. Is that you can have a bunch of great individuals, but if you don't have a great team, you're never going to accomplish anything big.
What were you majoring in your 2 years at Clarkson?
Management.
Yeah.
Management. I graduated in 2 years because I had gone to school in Finland, to the University of Tampere, for 2 years. So I was able to transfer some courses into Clarkson and graduate in 2 years and turn pro and had a cup of coffee in the NHL and more some amount of games in the American League. And that was great, too. It was always my dream to be in the NHL. And when I wasn't good enough to play more than 55 games, then I moved into the management and tried to get to the NHL from there.
But 55 games in the NHL, your first two NHL goals were both scored in Edmonton. Incredibly, on the same road trip. I don't know what was happening at the Garden at the time, but there was this exhaustive, seemingly season-opening road trip.
Not on back-to-back.
They circled back. Yeah. Anyway, so you had two goals against Bill Ranford,
yeah,
who would go on to win the Conn Smythe Trophy that year and the Oilers' most recent Stanley Cup, yeah, which was 1990.
Yeah, probably the worst two goals scored on Bill Ranford. But, you remember those for sure, and great memories. And I was very, very proud, obviously, to get the opportunity with the Boston Bruins. Even if it was for a short time, it's some of the best memories of my life.
But how is it that after a brief time with Boston, brief time with Ottawa, quickly in Sweden as a player, how is it that at age 29 you became a general manager in Finland, in Liiga, immediately after the playing career was done?
Yeah, I had a brief stint there having an agent business, and I quickly grew it to a pretty successful business. I had Kimmo Timonen and Sami Kapanen and Olli Jokinen, players that probably would have made more money if I stayed in the agent business.
I played
business
with two of them, and the other one I know well, so because he scored on me a bunch. That's Olli. Olli used to score on me all the time, but I played with Kimmo and Sami. And
so you went from the agency quickly into management?
Yeah. I built a good relationship with the president of IFK Helsinki, Frank Moberg, who just recently passed away, and rest in peace. He was a great man, and he really believed in me through the interactions that we had had through the negotiations and talking about the team, and they were going through a process, which was the first time in Finland where they were hiring a general manager who was just concentrating on sports or the hockey part of it, where before they'd have the business president or CEO that would also handle the hockey side, but the head coach was responsible for most of the personnel decisions. Mm-hmm. But they were going through that process where the first time they had the model like the NHL, and he kind of encouraged me to apply for the job. So I did, and that was the first time I had a job interview, and the second time was this spring. So It's been a quick 30 years in hockey business after that.
Amazing. You mentioned Tampere, which is where Mika Noronen was born. Mm-hmm. Mika was a goalie here when I played here. I went to the World Championship in 03. We were in Turku, which was unbelievable. I loved it. And then we played in Helsinki as well. I always have had amazing relationship with all the Finns. I always felt like they were, you know, high-working, hard-working, down-to-earth, great people. I'm going to ask you, why is that? Why is it that it feels like the Finns, and the Swedes to a certain extent too, always kind of translates really well to North America and to the NHL?
Yeah, I think we're a small, humble country that way, but proud at the same time. Mm-hmm. But I think there's a culture of putting your hard work first and letting that speak to you. That's why we're probably so quiet most of the time. Finns are not known for their small talk, but
except for Tiikkanen.
Well, yeah, that's. That's a different story.
That was another one, too.
Well, Jarkko was
tough, too, yes.
Yeah, but only on the ice, though. If you know him off the ice, he's completely different. And I had him in Columbus as a player development guy. So I managed him in Helsinki Jokerit when he was still playing. And I asked him once, like, what happens when you put the helmet on? Some kind of a switch goes on when he gets on the ice. He's a completely different guy, but a great guy. But no, Finns are the culture in our country is about not bragging, letting your work and your do the talking, and I think that's a good way of doing things. And I credit to my parents. I've always grown up in that type of culture and atmosphere as well. That okay. Keep your mouth shut and listen a lot and let your work do the talking.
Sabres senior advisor Jarmo Kekäläinen is with us. Jarmo, after that time, starting at age 29 as general manager in Finland, it was back with the Senators organization and then a lengthy stay with the Blues and obviously more than a decade with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Are there people that you would still view now, in hindsight, as mentors along the way, people that have really helped shape your existence in the NHL?
Absolutely. I think that I've had the privilege to work with people that I've been able to learn a lot from, and that's a big part of any business, that you have leadership like that. I worked with a guy by the name of Marshall Johnston, who was a great talent evaluator, highly, highly organized guy that taught me a lot about the scouting side, the player evaluation side. Ray Shiro, who just recently passed away, he gave me my first job and first opportunity in the NHL. Just such a great man. Larry Plow hired me in St. Louis. Doug Armstrong joined there when I was still there. Guys that have been very successful in the league, and John Davidson. I have a great relationship to this day with him. I consider him a friend or almost a father figure. He's been great to me always in St. Louis, and then hiring me with Columbus Blue Jackets and gave me that opportunity. And so I think it's all about that. You learn from the people that you work with and you have respect for, and they show you the ropes and the leadership part of it. And I always say that even from the playing days, you learn the most from the people that are true leaders. You learn the most. You learn more than you ever learn in school.
Oh, yeah.
Even though it was just for a few games, sitting in the locker room with Ray Bourque and Cam Neely and watching them, how they lead team is I've always made it as an example that tells you a lot more about leadership than sitting in the classroom.
You ever think about the names you just mentioned? Like, that is such an impressive list of people who are
great professors,
so
like that,
respected in this game that you've had that close a connection with those people. I know a lot of people would feel differently about other players or other people that have impacted, but that is, it just really hit me.
Yeah, and I'm probably forgetting some people that I should thank for that too. But I've always been a sponge as far as listening a lot and trying to learn from different people, different styles, how they handle different situations, and the one thing that with all those people is very common is how they treat people. and how respectful they are and how honest they are. And that's that was a big part of why I wanted to come here, because I had a lot of respect for Kevin Adams, the type of person he is, the honesty he's shown me, the respect he's shown me, and how he's handling this situation. And I had a great conversation with Terry Pakula, and that was very convincing as well. And that's a big part of my decision, along with seeing the potential in the group, but also having the opportunity to work with great people.
It's interesting because you talk about the Finns, how it's a quiet nation, but put a lot of hard work. You're a really well-spoken person, and the experience is there. And then when we talked to a lot of people around the league, they said, well, you're pretty aggressive. When you look at your time in Columbus, right, like you had Panarin and Bobrovsky, you were aggressive and keeping them and trying to make the push. And do you think, or do you consider yourself an aggressive type of hockey operation person, or is this just the look that we've been getting a little bit from you?
I think I'm aggressive when it's time and place to be aggressive, but I'm also, I'd say I'm pretty analytical, and I have the poise to also, you know, look at the situation and take a step back and analyze it rather than reacting into something just because you feel like something's got to be done. But if the situation and the opportunity is right, I can be aggressive, and it all depends on where the team's at in its development and growth. And then when the window opens, I think you need to be aggressive, because the window to win with a team is never open forever. It's that certain period of time of your core players' prime. And that's when you need to be aggressive to make sure you surround them with the right mix to win.
So you mentioned not even having internet when you decided to go to Clarkson. I'm curious, when you talk of being analytical and of that nature, what you've appreciated as far as kind of tools at your disposal as time has gone on in a management role, things that you've come to really appreciate in helping you evaluate personnel.
Yeah, that part's developing quickly too, and this year and a change was also an opportunity for me to learn some things about what's out there now that you can utilize and stay on top of how things are developing. So I've gone from scratching names on the board and writing them again, to using spreadsheets, to getting it on RinkNet, to now learning a lot about the use of AI and machine learning and how you could utilize that and do things faster and more efficiently. And so I think you always got to stay on top of the tech and how you can, you know, if you think of just the last 20 years, then smartphones came in and like, I'm not so sure that I like the touch screen, but now you can live without it. Same thing with the laptops, so I think it's you have to stay current with everything.
Were you a BlackBerry guy with the keyboard before going to the iPhones?
Who wasn't?
Like, I hated the BlackBerry,
really?
But everybody loved it because of the keyboard.
Yeah, I moved fast into the touchscreen, to be honest with you. It's just,
So is there a type of player... through all of this, through all of your years of evaluating, is there still something that you gravitate to, a trait, something that is still kind of at your core that you see a player and you just respect that immensely in them?
I would have to say that, which is something that I always say to the scouts that I work with too, is that anybody can see the skill. Anybody can see who can shoot the puck and skate. The hardest part of evaluation is seeing what's in here and what's in here. And that's the competitiveness, the drive, the desire, the willingness to win and do everything to win. That those are the important things that you need to see in a player, recognize in a player, and then go get that player. And that's also the hardest part. So scouting is all about hard work. It's not about seeing the frosting on the cake and thinking that you can go see a player or a prospect and see him a couple times and now you know him. You're not going to know much about him, but if you see him again and again, you see his good game, you see his bad game, the average game, when the pressure is on, the bright lights are all those things together, now you know the player. And that's when you can really learn about his character and competitiveness and all those things to drive. And those are the most important parts for me.
Physicality? Like, I mean, everybody's talking about Sam Bennett in the playoffs now. And, oh, man, he's going to make $10 million next year or whatever. But it's like you see that shiny new toy in the physicality. That's something that has been kind of a I don't want to say a priority, but something that's high on the list.
Yeah, that's part of the competitiveness, I think, too, because there are big guys that should play physical but don't, and then there are smaller guys that compete hard and play physical, and the physical is still a big part. A little intimidation still a big part of the NHL. You watch the playoffs; it's a man's game, mm-hmm. and you got to have a group of guys that are willing to put their body on the line, whether it's blocking shots or going into the corner first and getting to a loose puck and retrieve it, or you know, if there's a little bit of a battle in front of the net, you always push back and you never back down, and that's a big part of physicality. It's not necessarily on being the aggressor or intimidator, but it's never giving up and always pushing back and being there for your teammate as well.
Thank you for the time today. We have to take a quick break.
Really, it wasn't us. It was AI it was Brian Duff and AI Marty Baron.
Oh, please.
So we got the real Yarmo, but there was AI.
We definitely got the real Yarmo. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Yarmo Kekäläinen, senior advisor here in Buffalo. We're back after this on Sabres.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 50% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your designer shoe warehouse store is on sale right now. Sneakers, boots, dress shoes, if they're on the clearance racks, they're 50% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
We unveiled a new segment on Sabres Live earlier this week called Marty Rantanen, and we're going to try and keep running with that when Marty gets wound up about something. I've often wanted to, and then usually, like we do, Marty, tend to forget and then realize at 3 in the afternoon, oh, I should have talked about this. Anyway, yeah. I would like to contribute like New Music Fridays and at least throw out things that I'm sampling right before the Friday show.
Yep.
I would just encourage everyone to hear Everlasting. It is the new Matt Mason song, and obviously with a title like that, it kind of ties in with the loss of Amherst legend Scott Metcalf that we started the show with today, because his impact certainly was everlasting.
Getting a lot of text message and message on social media. The great Blutini, who's a friend of the show, said that we greatly captured players like Metcalf meant to us, the people that grew up watching the Amherst in the 80s and 90s. He says, I hope Sharky gives him a big hug at the gates upstairs. So, and he also makes him miss his dad, who brought him to Amherst games. So I think that's what Metter did. He brought everybody together. Music brings everybody together. Like Ron McLean does a lot on Hockey Night Canada. He brings music to the game. That'd be great. New Music Friday with Marty Rantanen on Wednesdays. It'd be awesome.
We'll continue to take your segment ideas as we head into a summer
yes.
without games. Enjoy the game tonight, though, folks, and the weekend. We'll see you soon.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.